Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to Alaska Hotels' third quarter 2017 results investor call. The management of Alaska Hotels will run you through the presentation materials that can be found on Alaska Hotels' website, which will be followed by a question and answer session. You can ask a question by phone by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. I'm now pleased to introduce Mr. Francisco Arteche, CEO of Alaska Hotels. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good morning to those joining from the U.S. And thanks for being with us today. I'm Francisco Arteche, CEO of Alaska Hotels, and I'm here together with Yonander de las Fuentes, our CFO, as well as Aitor Marcaida, our Head of Investor Relations. Today, we will review our financial results for the first 9 months of 2017. We'll discuss key development, business development, and walk you through a few details of our business. Following those remarks, we'll host the Q&A session. As you are well aware of, we integrated Telecable within our perimeter since last 26th of July. Therefore, the statutory results in the nine-month period will incorporate 2 months of operations of Telecable, and the necessary pro forma adjustments for comparability are also reflected in this presentation. As an opening statement in relation to Telecable, I would just mention that the performance of the company is on track according to our initial estimates, and the integration plan has started according to our announced timetable. We're also very pleased to welcome Mr. John James as independent member of the board and part of the strategic committee, and Mr. Robert Samuelson as board member representative of Zegona. We're sure that their contributions will be extremely valuable to help management thrive under current challenging market conditions and deliver an attractive and value-creative strategy for our shareholders. At the end of the presentation, I will conclude with some key remarks and, more importantly, by inviting all our investor and analyst community to participate in our Investor Day the following November the 13th, where we will explain in depth our strategy for the future of our company. Let me now start with the presentation, but before that, just a legal note on compliance. Just to highlight that the information shown in this presentation refers to statutory data consolidating the first 9 months of Euskaltel, Euskadi and Galicia, and 2 months of Telecable, August and September 2017. Pro forma calculations for comparability purposes are also included where appropriate, and a full set of KPIs are included at the back. Let's move on to the next slide. Before starting with the results, we think it's worth reminding where we are now and what we have built over the last 3 years. Following the acquisition of Telecable, we've moved from a single-region company to a multi-region platform, addressing a population of over 6 million and doubling all our financial metrics in less than 3 years. But more importantly, we have built this platform upon consistent strategic pillars, an undisputed leadership in our respective regions, strong brand equity, local attachment and proximity, a superior service offering, and efficient operations and sector-leading metrics. With the acquisition of Telecable, we expect to replicate the satisfactory integration and synergies based on our experience with R-Cable. Also, and more importantly, we will be able to unlock the attractive potential that the platform will bring to us by means of cross-fertilization of best practices, unifications of systems and operations, unified commercial strategy, and an increased scale and scope of strategic alliances, and many other areas that we will cover in depth during the next Investor Day. Finally, I will also remark that we remain under a difficult market scenario with renewed price competition and investments carried out from our competitors. The results of these quarters are not what we would have liked, but we have plans to improve and reboost our performance. But also, I'd like to remark that we're on a solid platform with the best network and competitive positioning to address these issues and some initial grid shots are already happening. Let's move on to the next slide. So on page 3, just a summary reminder of the closing details of the transaction. Zegona will become a new shareholder of Euskaltel with a 15% stake in the company. The final cash payment amounted to 177 million due to the increased Telecable leverage at closing versus our initial estimate. Total Euskaltel leverage post-transaction will stand at 4.57 pro forma for fully phased Telecable synergies. All-in blended cost of debt is less than 3%, exactly 2.98%. And lastly, let me reiterate that Mr. John James and Mr. Samuelson have been officially appointed as board members, and our governance structure has been overhauled by the creation of a strategic committee that will define and monitor the implementation of the strategy of the group. Let's move to page 4 to cover the key highlights of the quarter. To begin with, Q3 confirms the trend that we anticipated in Q2, a market that remains aggressive, but an improvement of metrics, particularly in the month of September. On a pro forma basis, residential revenues increased 0.7%, driven by cross-selling, upselling, and ARPU growth. On a quarterly basis, the residential revenues decline in Q3 is decelerating versus the second quarter. It is minus 0.2 in Q3, and it was minus 0.5 in Q2. Business revenue is impacted for the full year by the loss of large account revenue, but stabilizing and consolidating an improved trend to continue in the last quarter. The EBITDA margin reached 50.3% during Q3, that is excluding Telecable, growing on absolute terms for the first quarter in the year. CapEx remains on track to finish the year in line with guidance of 17% of revenues, and this quarter is positively impacted by summer seasonality. As a result, operating cash flow margin remains well above 30% of revenues, on track to meet the target for the fiscal year 2017. Our leverage ratio post-Telecable acquisition stands around 4.5 times EBITDA. And finally, I would just remind that last July, we paid a complementary dividend of 0.21 euros per share, meaning a total dividend in the full year 2017 of 0.36 euros per share, or a total of 54.6 million euros. Moving on to the next page, let me quickly summarize our reported consolidated and statutory results for the first 9 months of the year, which include for the first time Telecable results consolidated since August 1st, 2017. Our total revenue increased by 3.2% in the year, up to 444 million euros. Our EBITDA reached 219.3 million, which represents a growth of 4.7% over previous year. An EBITDA margin improvement of more than 70 basis points, reaching 49.4%. Our operating cash flow stood at 149 million, representing a margin of 33.5% over sales. We will analyze all these items in detail on a comparable basis for constant perimeter, that is the Basque Country and Galicia, and adding a word on Telecable where appropriate. So on page 6, we show the revenue performance differentiating the previous perimeter, Euskaltel, and our cable, and the two-month revenue contributions from Telecable. The left-hand chart shows the revenue bridge for the first 9 months of the year. Residential segment has shown positive growth of 0.2% year-on-year, mostly due to ARPU improvements of 1.3 euros year-on-year. The business segment has contributed negatively, representing an 8.7% annual decrease on a comparable basis, as I said, mainly explained by the loss of one of our main large accounts. And Telecable has contributed 23.2 million euros of revenue during its first 2 months as part of our group. Similarly, the right-hand chart shows the quarterly revenue evolution. With regards to the previous perimeter, revenue went down by 2%, reducing the negative trend that we had in Q2. It is fair to say that the strength seen this year to date demonstrates that we continue to operate in a tough competitive environment. Including Telecable's contribution, Q3 grew by 14% versus previous quarter, reaching almost $165 million of revenue. Turning on to page 7, we can focus on residential revenue. Residential revenue reached $112 million in Q3, including the $17 million contribution from Telecable. And during this quarter, the residential revenue trend is improving. We're experiencing higher growth in the previous perimeter. We're growing 0.7 versus Q2, while Q2 grew 0.8 versus Q1. The consolidation of 2 months of Telecable revenue would have nearly 17 million euros. On a pro forma basis, residential revenue for the first 9 months has grown 0.7% versus the same period in 2016. Regarding ARPU evolution, ARPU has grown by 1.3% on a year-on-year basis, implying an increase of close to 0.8 euros. The ARPU increase is sustained by successful product upselling, with RGU per sub standing at 3.5 times. On a pro forma basis, that is including Telecable, the ARPU would have grown by 2% versus last year. On page 8, we cover the net subscriber evolution and the churn in the quarter. On a consolidated basis, we reported a net loss of around 3,000 subscribers, and we would like to zoom a bit on the results to extract conclusions. First, the spike in churn comes mainly from Galicia, a region that historically has been able to maintain very low churn rates, providing a long-lasting customer satisfaction built over time. And there are two reasons behind. The first issue is related to our execution of the transition towards the new residential offer in Galicia, which helped drive ARPU up. We have plans in place to relaunch communication, and we have reinforced the retention and business intelligence teams, with corporate residential marketing assuming the lead on customer base management. And then secondly, the students campaign as students end and start a new course. Year to date, if we had not had this impact, churn would have been reduced in our cable by 270 basis points. Besides, the positive remark is that churn rates in the Basque Country have consistently rated below 15%, proving our readiness to compete in an aggressive scenario. The Basque Country is one of the regions in Spain with higher FTTH coverage post the Telefónica and Vodafone agreement. And a last word on Telecable. Churn in the third quarter has been high as a result of the effect of deducing El Partidazo from the TV offering and the migration from Vodafone to Movistar. We expect to reverse the trend in the coming quarters through new offerings, TV functionality, and enhanced mobility experience. All in all, this is an area of focus for the entire organization. We're aiming to reverse the current data in the coming quarters and deliver a strategy of sustained subscriber retention and moderate growth for the future. On page 9, we show the results of our bundling and upselling strategy. On the left-hand side, we can see that our 3P, 4P penetration remains in sector high levels, with 66% of our subscribers acquiring 3P and 4P bundles. Broadband subs, as percentage of total subs, remains stable at 85%. Telecable contributes positively to the 3P, 4P penetration, increasing the blended ratio to 68%. This is mostly explained by the high TV penetration within Telecable's client base. With regards to TV RGUs, we continue to experience a strong momentum in TV, with a 2.2% year-on-year increase in TV RGUs. The TV RGUs growth is supported by the launch of our new set-top box, 4K, running Android TV, And as of September 2017, we already had 10,000 active set-top boxes. Telecable contributed positively with around 120,000 new TV customers, moving TV penetration from 59% in the previous perimeter to almost 68%. Our strategy is providing positive results in mobile, showing a 2.6% year-on-year growth in mobile RGUs. Telecable has contributed with 140,000 new mobile lines, now reaching a total of 915,000 mobile lines. In the previous perimeter, mobile penetration reached a record high of 80%. We still have tangible growth opportunities within Telecable to continue enhancing our mobile business in Asturias and share some of the best practices elsewhere in the group. Let's now have a look at the business segment revenue in page 10. The business segment revenue decreased by 8.1% on a year-on-year basis, mostly explained by the impact of the loss of the Basque government contract. Including the contribution of Telecable, business revenue grew by 5.9% on a year-on-year basis. SOHO revenue increased 13% and reached 20 million revenue, including Telecable's contribution. And on a constant perimeter, the SOHO revenue declined slightly by 2.1% on a year-on-year basis. SMEs and large accounts decreased by 12.7% on a year-on-year basis, as anticipated, mainly due to the loss of the Basque government contract. Including the contribution from Telecable, SME and large accounts revenue grew by 0.6%. And on a like-for-like basis, the trend in SME has improved substantially. It's been minus 3% versus the same quarter last year in Q3, whilst it was minus 6% in Q2 versus Q2 last year. And finally, it's important to note that the commercial structure has been renewed and reinforced with new appointments combined with the new products and offers that we are putting in place. On page 11, we present the split of EBITDA evolution with the same scheme. The left-hand chart illustrates the EBITDA performance in the last 9 months, which reflects the negative evolution of the revenues, nearly compensated by the positive evolution of the costs, both direct and commercial and overhead. Additionally, Telecable has contributed with 10.3 million euros of EBITDA during these 2 months. All in all, EBITDA has grown by 4.7% year-on-year, remaining flattish on a comparable basis. However, this is mostly explained by the inclusion of the audiovisual tax costs since January 2017. Similarly, the right-hand chart shows this EBITDA evolution quarter by quarter. On constant perimeter, EBITDA grew 1.3% in the quarter, which in terms of margin means an increase of 165 basic points, reaching a 50.3%, and therefore confirming the turning point. Yonander will now explain the evolution of CAPEX and operating cash flow in the quarter. Yonander.
Thank you, Pachi. Let me focus now on CAPEX and operating free cash flow. The left-hand side graph illustrates the CAPEX evolution, which is progressively converging to mid-term target levels reaching 15.8% over revenue in the first 9 months of 2007. We continue to invest CAPEX in DOCSIS 3.1 technology. Focusing on the Basque country, we already achieved a coverage of 50% as of third quarter 2007, and the plans for Galicia and Asturias are underway. Other main areas of focus in terms of CAPEX are expansion plans, 4K set-top box, and digital transformation of the company, which are going to be pushed during the fourth quarter. All in all, we remain confident on the stated guidance of 17% of CAPEX over revenue for full year 2017. The chart on the right shows the evolution of the operating cash flow for the first 9 months, which stood at almost 150 million euros, representing a conversion of close 34% over revenues. The incorporation of Telecable has consolidated our conversion rates, 33.8% in the previous perimeter versus 33.5% including the 2 months of Telecable. And a standalone operating cash flow of 50.8 million euros was reached in the third quarter. On page 13, we illustrate the net debt and cash flow evolution for the period. In relation to the net debt, the net leverage pro forma for the integration of Telecable will stand at close 4.5 times pro forma for declared fully phased synergies. This meets our previous objective met during the acquisition of Telecable. In relation to cash flow generation, the company has generated an equity cash flow of 137 million euros in the last 12 months, excluding dividend distribution. These figures demonstrate the strong cash flow profile of the company and the ability to quickly deliver. Finally, on dividend, the company will continue with its commitment to remunerate to the shareholders. The Board of Directors has approved an interim dividend of 22.7 million euros, the same amount as last year, equivalent to 12.7 cents per share. Euskaltel will continue with its commitment to distribute a maximum payout ratio, allowing for an optimal capital structure on the group. The complementary dividend will be communicated upon approval by the General Shareholders Meeting in 2008. Finally, on page 14, we show the leverage profile over time. With the acquisition of Telecable, we have improved the financial conditions and we have gained flexibility with the interest payment schedules. We would like to add that we are in constant search for the optimal financing structure for the company and our management of interest cost. In this sense, just a remark that we are exploring a potential refinancing of the institutional and banking tranche in order to provide sufficient flexibility, diversification, and attractive terms. And now Patxi is going to summarize the main conclusions.
Thank you, Jonander. So yes, finally, and to conclude, let me restate again the key highlights of the quarter. Upon closing of Telecable transaction, we have delivered the consolidation of the regional cable in the north of Spain, creating a solid platform for the future of the group. We have achieved stabilization in revenues in residential and initial green shoots in business that will be reflected in the coming quarters. We have defined specific actions to compete under current scenario and address some of our weak areas. Communication and offer alignment in Galicia, the empowerment of retention and BI corporate capabilities in Galicia and Asturias, new talent in enterprise commercial for the group, and a special focus in the Basque Country. Our EBITDA and cash conversion will continue with its healthy path for the remaining part of the year. We maintain our remuneration to our shareholders in 2018, maximizing payout ratio, allowing for an optimal capital structure of the company. And as I said at the beginning, we're holding an Investor Day presentation the next November 13th in Bilbao. In such session, we would be pleased to explain to our investor community our detailed strategy for the future, addressing the key pillars of our future strategy and our approach to the main industry challenges. An agenda for the session is included in this presentation. So we're now happy to start the Q&A and take your questions.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. The first question comes from Nuno Matias from Haitong Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the questions. The first one is on Telecable, specifically to the football content issue. You know, I've owned the company for a few months. What's your view now on having three operations, one with football, the other two without football content? Do you think this structure makes sense? And if not, can you explain us if you could walk away from that deal at Telecable and when? And then more generically at Telecable from these first few months of running the company, what sort of surprises have you encountered, whether positive or negative? Thank you.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Nuno. Regarding football, basically there was a decision that was already made by the previous management to remove El Partidazo, and it's a decision that we have respected. We're now looking and evaluating the relevance of football within the current consumer base in Telecable. We will look in the next 2 years how that evolves over time. We feel at the same time that in Euskaltel and our cable, we have a good leverage of content, not including football. So we need to put everything in balance, and we need to decide where we go and where we end regarding football. We have a contract with La Liga until the season 2018-2019. So we will keep our commitment to football for the remaining of the contract, and we will be evaluating the different options probably next year. Sorry, and there was a second question regarding our first impressions. I would say the first impressions, I think, are probably related to the opportunities that we see. The first thing would be an alignment of what we expected and what we see. We have seen a strong talent in the company. In fact, there's been a few appointments in terms of people holding responsibilities in the company, such as the CTO and CIO that is now the CIO of the Euskaltel Group. We've seen potential to benefit from the best practices from Telecable regarding TV content. So we have appointed the person that was running TV, the TV platform in Telecable, as the TV responsible for the whole, for the corporate marketing structure. So some of these impressions, I think, are positive impressions. We feel excited about some of the opportunities that can be leveraged from the rest of the group. And like I think the growth on mobile is a significant opportunity, and increasing the mobile penetration is a good opportunity. I also think the same way we think about the group, from a business point of view and enterprise point of view, there are new things and new business we can drive with the new product offerings that we are adding to our catalog today. I think that would be probably the main topics I would highlight.
Okay, many thanks.
Yep.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mathieu Robillard from Barclays. The floor is yours, sir.
Good morning. I have two questions, please. The first one with regards to the KPIs. So if I try to summarize all the useful elements you've given in terms of explaining how it went and what you expect going forward, I guess it's fair to say that some of the weakness has to do with the transition and some changes, internal changes, but not so much on the competitive environment deteriorating over the last 6 to 12 months. So is that a fair assessment of what you said? And is it why you're so confident that it can improve, because it is things that can be fixed internally as opposed to a big change in the competitive environment? And then the second one, which is a bit of accounting, but hopefully that's not too tedious. If I look at the pro forma numbers of the group with Telecable included for 3 months, It seems that, and if I subtract from that the numbers you give for Euskaltel, excluding all of Telecable, it seems that the EBITDA of Telecable in Q3 17 has come down quite substantially compared to Q3 16. I mean, I estimate it came down from 16 to 13 million. So is that math right? And if that's the case, could you give a little bit of color as to why EBITDA would have come down? Is there some sort of one-off in there or some cleanup? Thank you.
Thank you, Mathieu. So I'll take the first one and Yolanda will answer the second one. Regarding the KPIs and the issue we have faced specifically on churn in residential in Galicia, the answer is yes. That is, the competition remains strong, but there are things in the way we did manage the transition to the new offer that we could have done better. All these things have been addressed. There are plans in place, so we feel positive that already in Q4 we will see the correction of those issues. And regarding the second question.
Yeah, related to Telecable EBITDA performance. One clarification is we are including in the current figures only 2 months of Telecable. But if we make a like-for-like comparing the Q3 2016 and 17, obviously Telecable is impacted by some adjustments made to made the homogenize of the group criteria in terms of accountant criteria. At the same time, now Telecable is impacted by the Spanish TV tax that has been included in the Euskaltel group during this year 2017 that wasn't affected in the past year. They have been affected too for the reduction in terms of subscribers in the company. And to make some to give you more information, approximately now we are keeping 5 million euros per month on EBITDA in Telecable, and for example, July have had 2.7 million euros on EBITDA in this specific month. No, in that case, the evolution will be different, and probably we are going to be a different performance in the next months.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ivan Leo from BBVA. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Just maybe two or three questions. The first one, bothering you again with the KPIs. You're basically blaming Galicia, so we could assume that subscribers have been basically flat in Asturias and the Basque region, and all the losses are coming from Galicia. And I would like to understand what's happening there. I mean, I think your prices are relatively the same in the Basque region and Galicia and compared to similar prices versus competition. So what's the explanation that, you know, Basque region is doing so well and Galicia is so bad so far? It's just the brand name. And in order to correct that, I mean, some of the things you've mentioned, you think you need to reposition the tariffs, or it's not about this?
Yeah, hi, Ivan. So basically, in Galicia, I think the results in Galicia have been impacted by two main things. I think when you compare our brand and Euskaltel brand, both brands are basically ranked among the highest in perception by the customers that are sitting in each territory. We think the closeness to consumer is a clear strength, and we see the appreciation of the customers. So we do not see today a problem in terms of the brand strength. It is true that Galicia was previously impacted by the host migration and the aggressiveness of these competitors. I think the situation regarding the host is now corrected. Every person in Galicia has access to 4G network. So, in fact, we've moved to a service and an offer that is better than some of our competitors. Regarding the latest elements that have been impacting in the latest numbers, specifically the areas, and when I mention the areas that we are correcting, I think we could have done a better job at communicating together with the new residential offer. So probably our communication focused on another element that was the connected home, was there are 10 to 15 things that the new commercial offer is including that our competitors do not have. So from a competition point of from a communication point of view, the changes we're making is to make sure that communication is aligning with the new offer promises. There was a second element in terms of the timing. So we probably tried to do the transition in a short period of time. So instead of doing it in 3 weeks, we did it in 1 week, and that basically impacted our ability to deliver the best experience in terms of customer support. I think these two things are probably the main drivers of the situation that we have seen in what regards the new offer proposals. Remember that today, one of the advantages of the group is that we have a unified product proposition in the group, and the unified product proposition was the same in the Basque Country than it was in Galicia. So on a comparable basis, we're convinced that with what we have learned, the next time we do, it will be and it will have a much lesser impact. And then the other element that I also mentioned is the student. So when the student course ends in June, July, people leave the service and they come back in September. That causes a little bit of an unnatural or an artificial boost in the churn that could have an impact, as I said, of 2.7 points in the whole year, not in the quarter, in the whole year. So it's really significant. It's something, this is more like a technical thing on how we correct that. For the time being, we keep the metric as it is. We're working on some offers to some of these customers or some of these students to keep the contract during the summer, but that's like a different thing that that is more the consequence of the student's habits.
Okay, thank you. And maybe a very last one on CapEx. You've reinstated your 17% guidance for the year. It does seem by the numbers of the first 9 months that you have some room there. I don't know if it's really we're going to see CapEx picking up in the fourth quarter or you're being just conservative on the on that number. And the second one, I don't know, in the press today they were suggesting that the expansion to other regions would be initially through CapEx deployment, I mean through network deployment, which I don't know if that's the taken decision or you're also considering a wholesale agreement.
Okay. Related to the CAPEX, as I said before, obviously we are impacted in the third quarter by the seasonality of summer seasonality, but we keep our guidance to be close to 17% over revenues because obviously we are now pushing some initiatives like the expansion plan, the investment in DOCSIS 3.1 and the 4 key set-top box that we are now launching and putting in the market. No? Those questions and at the same time the digital transformation that we have started during this year are going to have more impact in the last quarter of the year. Okay. And the only question related to the expansion plans, it's true that we are going to use an agreement that we have signed with Orange, and this agreement is going to give us the capacity to have flexibility to manage OPEX and CAPEX in this expansion plan. It's giving us the opportunity to cover all the Spanish territory and giving more opportunities to provide services not only to the residential opportunities, at the same time with all the enterprise opportunities in the Spanish territory.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ricard Boada from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. I have two, if I may. The first one is that is on competition and the state of the Spanish market. Yesterday, one of your competitors outlined that despite a lot of noise lately, that the premium and high end markets remains healthy, and they see that the overall Spanish telecom market is still rational. How do you see, in all of these contexts, the promotions evolving from here? Should we model ARPU to grow by the amount of the price increases without any dilution from promotions, or you expect these promotions to continue? And then separately, as my colleague just asked earlier, on the agreement with Orange, Expansion reported that you are going to be first focusing on La Rioja and Navarra. Should we expect then the other two regions mentioned, so Cantabria and León, to follow soon, or how would that work? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ricard. Regarding competition and the market situation, we've seen since the beginning of this year a level of more aggressive competition whereby some of the ARPU increases did not translate, sorry, some of the tariff increases did not translate into a final ARPU and revenue increase. Our approach as we as we look at the future and as we get ready for the Investor Day and our business plans is relatively conservative in the next 18 months, so we're probably a little bit more conservative than what you just said and what some of our competitors are thinking in the next 12 to 16 months. We remain positive that there's an opportunity and an obligation in the Spanish market to monetize and add more value when you look at what's happening in other markets. So we think In a range of 3 to 5 years, we will see ARPUs and the business taking up. The next 12, 16, 18 months are going to remain, we will remain cautious in our approach. And then regarding Orange, I would say yes, and as we have said in some of the previews, discussions, Navarra is probably the most natural place for us to take as a next step, given the affinity and given even the brand knowledge that already exists in the territory. We are not sharing yet dates of what could be the dates for other areas like you mentioned Rioja, León or Cantabria. We'll share a little bit more of detail in the Investor Day regarding those topics.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes from Julio Arciniegas from RBC. The floor is yours, sir.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Regarding the the comment that you just made about the margin, the investment expansion plan. You mentioned that agreement with Orange will give the capacity to manage OPEX and CAPEX during the expansion plan. So should we think that basically the company initially is going to go through wholesaling and then when they gain scale in those areas to basically acquire, like with an IRU, the network from Orange, and hence, so we should expect some margin pressure coming from the wholesale fees in the short term? And my second question is regarding KPIs and basically top-line growth. Subscribers growth in the residential has been weak, organic revenue almost flat. How do you expect to stabilize revenue through subscribers or ARPU increase? Do you see headroom for further price increases, having in mind that the competition is increasing? Thank you.
Okay, Julio, related to the Orange agreement, as I said before, it's a very flexible agreement and give us the opportunity to use formulas based on wholesale and use solutions and formulas based on the co-investment in the different areas. We have a capacity to decide one formula or the other depending the penetration rate that we can expect in each region. In that sense, as we said before, it's a very efficient agreement in terms of CAPEX, OPEX investment balance.
And the KPIs. Sorry, and you were talking about KPI price increases.
Yes, basically, I was asking. Revenues are flat. What is going to be the driver of basically to see revenue performing better or stabilizing? It's going to be subscribe because subscribers are going down. So it's going to be ARPU, but basically competition is increasing. So your view about more ARPU increases, are you positive on that? Or, for example, have your belief about more for more has changed from what basically you were expecting 12 months ago?
Yes. So basically, we believe we should not be dropping net adds. That's one thing that as we think about the future, it is our belief that by a better management of the retention, we could avoid some of the loss of net adds that we are seeing this year, both in Telecable and in Galicia. So that's a baseline that I would establish when I think about the future. We will keep pushing for higher penetration of some of the services where today we still have opportunities. TV, for example, is a key element outside of Asturias. So we will keep pushing to add products and functionalities in the TV space in the Basque Country and Galicia. We will keep pushing on the phone and mobile space in Telecable and Asturias. We have room to increase the offers in the packages that we have today. So to give you an example, there's around 50 to 60% that are using our 200 meg product on fixed lines on broadband. We think there's an opportunity as we progress in DOCSIS 3.1 to upgrade more people to 350 meg, where today we have between a 6 and a 10% of the people. That's going to be another opportunity to monetize. But regarding price increases, we have seen that price increases, so to say, for the same product, there's a level of sensitivity in the market that has grown a lot during this year. So price increases have the risk of ending up with a higher churn and a higher need for additional gross add, which is not the ideal model. So we will be doing, and we will keep open to doing, limited price increases, but we will be very cautious on those movements. We will be focusing more
on how can we sell additional services or better services, giving the choice to the consumer. So already our new offer is giving the choice to the consumer. Do you want to have a fixed line? If not, you would have more megas in terms of more gigs in terms of phone data. So that's the kind of path that we will be following for the future.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. We have no more questions in today's conference call, so I now give back the floor to the speakers for final remarks.
Yeah, I would just like to thank you and thank everybody for the attention, the attendance and the questions. And basically, we're looking forward seeing most of you in Bilbao in a couple of weeks. So thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this now concludes our conference call. You may now disconnect your line. Thank you.